You know, as I was thinking about this text today, this message, the thing that really strikes me is that Moses appears to be in a season of preparation. And when we think about our lives, much of life is like that. We seem like we're constantly preparing for what comes next. We prepare ourselves by going to school, getting an education, and if we're lucky enough, we'll find someone. We'll meet a soulmate, and then we start preparing for a wedding. And then, if things go favorably towards us, what do we start preparing for next? Children. We start preparing to have children. And then we start the cycle all over again as parents. We start preparing our children through education. We prepare for their weddings. And then we await a time of grandchildren and making life ready for them. And then, if we live long enough, we get to prepare for retirement. Oh, yes, retirement. And then, finally, we prepare to exit, to exit life. Well, that's pretty depressing, isn't it? I mean, that just sums up life. I mean, just in a few small phrases, just in a nutshell. It's like, what are we living for? Well, today I want us to probe just a little bit deeper into Moses' life as he prepares for a new season. For a new season. You know, we make all of these preparations, and yet I wonder how much do we invest in preparing spiritually for life? Something to think about in light of what we've just heard. So the story continues in Exodus. Moses grows up in Pharaoh's palace. He has all the finer things of life. He has a great education. He receives the best of the culture of his day, the Egyptian culture. He grows up in wealth, and he has everything, it seems, going for him. It seems like he's really prepared to be a leader. But then things don't go so well for Moses. When he reaches kind of the prime stage of life, when he starts to make his own decisions and he's becoming his own man, we find this series of stories that Jackie just read. One day he goes out, he sees a Hebrew taskmaster, or an Egyptian taskmaster, beating a Hebrew slave. Moses feels passion for justice. And so he picks up the pen and he writes his own story. He takes matters in his own hands and he kills this Egyptian taskmaster. And then he covers it up by burying the man. And then something happens. Pharaoh finds out about it. And so what does Moses do then? It seems like things take a turn, and he runs. He flees, and he goes into the wilderness of Midian. So, as we look at Moses' life, it seems like he has all of the right ingredients, but there's something missing. He lacks something. And when we think about his story, it really is a rags-to-riches story. I mean, here's a guy who grows up by the standards of his day in slavery. and he is sentenced to death. Things are pretty desperate. They're at the lowest they could possibly be. And his mother, in a desperate attempt to save his life and in an act of faith, she puts Moses in that basket and lets him go. Rags to riches. Because Moses is found by Pharaoh's daughter and is afforded that lifestyle that I mentioned a moment ago. But then we come to this turning point in his life where he is on the run. And so now the story goes from rags to riches back to rags again. Has anybody ever lived that chapter of the story? You ever had a fall from grace? Moses is now entering into plan B. From riches to rags. And then in verse 15, we're told this: Moses fled from Pharaoh. He flees. He's running. He's hiding. What is missing from Moses' life to bring him to this low point? What's the missing ingredient? He's been serving the wrong master, Pharaoh. And now he's on the run. Because Pharaoh is a ruthless tyrant. He is a despicable man. I mean, just look at all of the things that he had tried to do to kill all of those Hebrew baby boys. He is the epitome of evil. And so Moses has been under his rule and under his authority, and now he ends up running. He's lost. He is fleeing. He is confused. This chapter of his story reminds me that this chapter happens so often when God isn't a part of our story. You see, we have no understanding that Moses knew who God was in this chapter. So Moses is now living plan B, and he's in need of what kind of other plan? G. He's in need of plan G. But be patient, that part is coming. Moses runs into a wilderness season of his life. You know, we've heard that story before, haven't we? People go off to try to find themselves. Did you ever do that? Maybe as a young adult or as a teenager. I lived that chapter. I did it my way. What Moses does is he ends up in the wilderness having what we call a midlife crisis. I had one of those a few years ago. I'm in my late 40s now, and when I was entering into my early to mid 40s, I had a midlife crisis. I decided I wanted the car I never could have as a teenager, a convertible. So during COVID, I went and bought me a convertible because they were cheap. Now, I couldn't afford the car I wanted, so I ended up with a Mazda Miata. The thing was no bigger than a go-kart. And I have a picture I need to show you sometime of me and Caroline driving around in it. Had my Ray-Bans on, the top down, the sun shining. Oh, it was a rush until it wasn't. You see, that car was not practical. And after driving it for a year and a half and showing up to funerals in it, I realized this ain't going to get it. Because everybody knew Jimmy is having a midlife crisis. You know, the thing about a midlife crisis is it teaches us to question our decisions. What in the world was I thinking? How did I end up here? This isn't working anymore. And you know, midlife crisis, if they're effective, they lead to change. Something's got to change. But here's another thing that midlife crisis teach us, because a lot of times in our midlife crisis, things don't turn out like we want them to. We make mistakes. We have failures. Sometimes we end up losing in the game of life at midlife. And so the other thing that a midlife crisis teaches us, at least one of the lessons that I see so many people learn, is when the world falls apart, what keeps you from falling apart? Y'all, this is the realization that Moses comes to in the wilderness. His life is falling apart. Will Moses fall apart? What we see in this chapter is that Moses hasn't prepared as well as he thought he did. He is not prepared spiritually for this season of life. And y'all, that realization usually hits us when we face a crisis of some sort. And Moses' midlife crisis reaches a turning point when he comes to the wilderness to a place called Midian. Verse 15 again, Moses fled from Pharaoh, and he stayed in the land of Midian. And this is where he will spend the formative years of his life, the middle years, the middle 40, because Moses lives to be 120. And so these middle years, he spends his life being discipled by a priest and his family. This is where Moses learns faith. He goes to the school of shepherding, like so many people do in the Bible. You know, great leaders emerge out of the pastures of keeping flocks and herds. And it's here where Moses will learn not just to shepherd sheep, but to lead people. Because he'd been trying to do it his way, without faith, without God, and it wrecked him. So now he'll learn what it means to lead God's way, and he will learn what it means for God to be his shepherd, his good shepherd. So you might say that when Moses reaches this midlife crisis, that it is an awakening moment for him. You see, prior to his crisis, his faith hadn't been activated yet. He wasn't exercising his God muscle. He is out of relationship and out of touch with God. But when he starts to engage the faith of his people in Midian, Moses comes alive and he starts to walk by faith. You know, when I think about walking by faith, I was trying to think of an illustration for you. And the thing that came to mind is, well, it'll be obvious. It's like learning to ride a bicycle. You know, I started riding a bicycle when I was about 7 years old. I think I got my first bike. It was a little BMX bike. It was blue. I still remember it. And I spent so much time riding that bike. But learning to ride it was a challenge. And you could probably remember the first time you started learning to ride a bike. You know, it feels a little awkward at first, doesn't it? You overcompensate. You get on the bike and it starts to lean to the right. And so you overcompensate, push to the left, and you're fighting it. You start to rationalize it. You live up here in your head. And when you start trying to ride a bike, thinking too much, it won't happen. But once you learn to trust the laws of physics and motion, you begin to understand that riding a bike is the most natural thing. It's so intuitive. You just do it, and it just works. That's why we say it's like learning to ride a bike. It's the most natural thing. And y'all, when I think about that, that's how it feels to walk by faith. It can start off a little rough, a little awkward, until we learn to trust. And over time, we realize, hey, this faith thing, it feels natural. It feels like we're created for this. And then you're just off to the races. You see, Moses hasn't learned to ride the bike of faith yet before coming to the wilderness, but he will immerse himself in that part of his journey. And it will become a source of clarity for him and empowerment in his life. And y'all, this next chapter that Moses lives, it's going to be amazing. But come back next week, we'll talk about that chapter. But before we move into that chapter of Moses' life, I want to invite us to sit with him at the well. Because this is the turning point. Listen again to verse 15. Moses flees from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. You know, what we learn about life is that without spiritual nourishment, it leaves us feeling fine. It leaves us feeling fine. Anybody ever ask you, how you doing? You say, I'm fine. Well, here's what you mean when you say that. I'm frustrated. I'm insecure. I'm nervous. And I'm exhausted. That's what fine means. It means the tank is running low. That's an MSU fan today. How are you feeling today, MSU fans? We're fine. We're fine. It's going to be a great year. We're all sitting by the well today. And there's some people sitting by other kinds of wells. But that's Moses. He's exhausted. He's spent. He's anxious. He's insecure. He's frustrated. He's fine. Maybe you've not learned to walk by faith as much as you need to. you're feeling fine and you're not okay. Maybe you need to be recharged, spiritually speaking. You may be thinking, I'm not going to make it. I mean, how in the world am I going to make it to the end of life and exit and make it to heaven? I mean, I'm not even going to make it to the next exit right now. Something needs to change. Maybe you need to sit by the well today. Maybe you need to find the green pastures. Maybe you need to sit a spell beside the still waters. You know, we've been reading this devotional by J.D. Walt. And in his devotional last week, he said, a well is a place of refreshment and restoration. A well is a place of community and encounter. What do we experience at the well? What am I talking about? Well, this morning I sat by the well for a little while. About 4:30 this morning, I had my well experience. And I started reading Psalm 130. I encourage you to read that psalm this week. It begins with these words, out of the depths, O Lord, I cry to you. Lord, out of the depths of my desperation, out of the depths of my exhaustion, out of the depths of my anxiousness, God, I call to you. And here's the part that stood out to me. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. I wait for you, Lord. In your word, I hope. Here's what Moses experiences at the well. He receives what the psalmist experiences, the life-giving well of God's presence and the revelation of His word. I wait for you. Lord, I wait for your presence. Because without it, I don't have what I need. Without it, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Lord, I wait for a revelation of your word. Because without it, I don't know where I'm going. Without it, I have no hope. God's presence and God's revelation are what we find when we come to that well. You know, as I was thinking about God's presence, you know, the first time that you feel it, the first time, you know what it feels like? It feels like love. You're overcome with a sense of love. Pure love flooding your soul. God's presence, it can feel like peace resting upon you like a warm, cozy blanket. It just envelops your being. And the more that you experience God's presence, the more you learn to trust in it. The more you start to seek it. And you even start longing for it. God's revelation. You know, when I think about that, it comes as a word spoken directly to you. It gives you clarity. It gives you a sense of direction. It's like a message just for you at the right moment when you need it. It feels like the most true thing that you've ever heard. How many of you need that today? God's presence. His word. His message to you. Come to the well. Come on. Come to the well. Because without our faith charged up, we're not going to make it. Without coming to the well, we live the wrong story. We end up out of plan A and into plan B. But there's a plan G. And you know what it includes? A well. You remember that story in John 4? Jesus goes to Samaria one day. He's thirsty. It's in the middle of the day. It's hot. He comes to a well. And he encounters a woman there. She's all alone. And through some conversation, we realize that this woman has lived plan A, plan B. She's lived plan C. She's lived plan D. And she's lived plan E. When I saw that, it blew my mind. When Jesus shows up, we have plan G. Only God could write that story. She had 5 husbands. A, B, C, D, E. Then Jesus comes along. Jesus says, I have something you're looking for. And it can't be found at the bottom of this hole in the ground. Oh, we dig for it. But we'll never find it. Because we realize that what we really need is God. We need Him. We need Him more than anything else. And Jesus, He tells this woman that, and she says to Him, Sir, give me this water. I want it. Give it to me. And Jesus says, the water I will give you, it will become a fountain of living water inside of you. It will satisfy you. And so we're like that woman. Lord, we need that water. We need you to write a new chapter. Lord, we need your presence. God, we need a revelation of your word. Let us pray. Lord, we pray today for this living water to come to thirsty and dry souls. Like Moses, Lord, we've come here today. We're sitting at the well. We've tried to do it our way, Lord, and we have failed. We need you to empower us. We need you to refresh us. And so we come today praying, Lord, fill me, Jesus. I need you. Put your spirit inside of me. Resurrect me. And Lord, would you charge up our faith? Build up our faith in you till we are empowered to live the life that you came to give us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.